This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here are your hosts, Eric Townsend and Patrick Serezna.
Beyond Blockchain, the Death of the Dollar and the Rise of Digital Currency. Written and narrated by Eric Townsend. Copyright 2018, Eric Townsend. This is a free sample of the first chapter of the audiobook version of Beyond Blockchain. To purchase the full version of the audiobook, paperback, or Kindle version, please visit www.macrovoices.com/BB for Beyond Blockchain. I hope you enjoy the free preview version of the first chapter. Chapter 1. Introduction. On Halloween night 2008, the global finance community was looking over the edge into an abyss. The worst October since 1987 was finally over. But everyone feared what might come next. Veteran finance professionals and central bankers alike were questioning whether the global financial system was in the process of failing irreparably. Everyone was in an existential panic, so when someone using the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto published a white paper that day, the event went unnoticed. But my prediction is that the invention of distributed ledger and double spend-proof digital cash, first published in Satoshi's Bitcoin white paper, will eventually change the world in profound ways. And by profound, I mean on the scale of the internet or the personal computer. In the not-too-distant future, all money will be digital, and it will work differently than what we're used to. But exactly how this change will occur is anything but clear. Three competing forces will determine the outcome, and it's very possible that the balance of world power could change dramatically in the process. This book is designed to help you understand what's coming, who the most important players are, and what to watch for as the digital currency revolution unfolds over the next 10 to 20 years. The Digital Currency Trilemma. Normally, when something new is invented, the path forward is clear and obvious. The people who invented it lead the way. And then as the innovation gains popularity, the original inventors are soon joined by many others working toward the same goals. But in the case of digital currency, it's a completely different story. Those three major forces competing to determine the future of the global monetary system couldn't possibly have more contradictory goals, objectives, and motivations. The inventors of cryptocurrency are such an interesting bunch that I've dedicated an entire chapter to introducing their culture, values, and motivations. For now, suffice it to say that they see government-issued money as the problem, and everything they do is focused on promoting their cryptocurrencies as alternatives to government-issued money. Cryptocurrency systems are designed to use technology in clever ways to take power away from government, making it extremely difficult for law enforcement or other government officials to monitor, regulate, or control the financial affairs of private citizens. The inventions of distributed ledger and double spend-proof digital cash have the potential to deliver profound benefits to society. They make it possible to modernize and improve the existing global monetary system controlled by the major governments of the world. But the inventors themselves couldn't be less interested in improving the existing system. They perceive the current system as the problem, and their vision of the future involves their cryptocurrencies offering a superior alternative that they expect will win the support of people around the world. They believe cryptocurrencies will eventually take over and become the dominant money systems as it becomes widely recognized that cryptocurrency offers a superior alternative to government-issued money. I don't think these aspirations are even remotely realistic. Governments won't simply give up the monopoly that they've enjoyed over coining and issuing money for the last several thousand years, not without a fight, and governments will win that fight easily. The United States government stands more to gain from digital currency technology than anyone else. Ironically, they don't seem to have figured that out yet. Eventually, they'll wake up and realize that digital currency technology offers the opportunity to advance their own agenda and seize far more control over the global monetary system. I'll use the phrase the challengers to refer to foreign governments who are sure to recognize that digital currency technology is the best means to challenge dollar hegemony. They're extremely frustrated that the U.S. dollar enjoys the title of global reserve currency. They feel this status gives the U.S. government an unfair advantage over the rest of the world, and they allege that the U.S. has repeatedly abused its status as reserve currency issuer to the detriment of other nations. Who are these challengers? At the moment, China and Russia are the major players, but the list of countries is growing rapidly. Just during the time this book was being written, the European Union began to side with the challengers on some matters concerning the dollar. If the challengers are able to win Europe's support, it's very possible that they could use digital currency technology to dethrone King Dollar as global reserve currency. That would change the balance of world power so significantly that I've dedicated an entire chapter to explaining the meaning of reserve currency status and what the consequences would be if the U.S. dollar lost that title. The central prediction of this book is that the ultimate outcome from the invention of distributed ledger and digital cash will be the replacement of the U.S. dollar as the world's global reserve currency. That's a long-term prediction, and it will take many years to occur, but it's inevitable, and the process has already begun. It could come in the form of a digital dollar, which might secure U.S. hegemony over the global financial system for another 50 years. But it could also come in the form of a new global digital currency introduced by the challengers for the express purpose of attacking dollar hegemony. One thing is certain, whoever succeeds at introducing a digital currency system that becomes the new global reserve currency will win the grand prize in the form of several decades of monetary hegemony. It's a really, really big deal, perhaps as big as the end of the Cold War. My goal in writing this book isn't to predict exactly what's going to happen or who's going to win. That would be impossible. What I can do is to provide all the background knowledge needed to interpret the news as it occurs, so that you can follow this story as it unfolds on the global stage over the next couple of decades. China and Russia almost certainly understand that digital currency is the best means available to them to reduce the U.S. government's authority over the global economy. They may already be collaborating toward that outcome, as evidenced by both governments' strong interest in digital currency technology. The crypto culture. The people who invented cryptocurrency are obsessed with the philosophy that the financial affairs of private citizens are none of the government's business, a sentiment I happen to share. All of their efforts have focused on using technology to create a new money system designed to intentionally limit and restrict government's ability to interfere in private citizens' monetary affairs. They have no interest in helping governments to improve or redesign the monetary systems currently running the global economy. They see the existing monetary system as the problem, and the governments and their central bankers as the source of that problem. They don't want to fix it. No, their aspirations are much more grandiose. They want to replace the existing monetary system entirely with a completely new kind of money that prevents governments from regulating and controlling the system. But technology is a double-edged sword. Just as it's possible to use technology to limit and restrict the power of government, it's equally possible to use technology to design a money system that increases the power of government. The people who invented these new breakthrough technologies aren't stupid. They know that once governments are in the driver's seat, the agenda will be reversed to use digital currency to further increase the power and authority of government, not to limit it. Needless to say, the inventors of cryptocurrency have no interest in causing or helping that to occur. They are quite passionately dedicated to the exact opposite goal. Two inventions that will change the world. The inventors of cryptocurrency made a revolutionary breakthrough in how information is stored in a distributed computer network, and by doing so, they perfected an invention that had stumped computer scientists and software engineers alike for decades. True digital cash. The ability to transmit monetary value, not just a check, but true money value, through a computer network. The implications of these inventions are profound and will change the world. This new technology could be used to enhance and improve the existing monetary systems running the global economy in ways that would deliver profound benefits to society. One of my principal contentions is that sooner or later, governments will recognize and exploit the opportunity to use these inventions to redesign how government-issued money works. The principal technology breakthrough that made cryptocurrency possible is known generically as distributed ledger. Now that phrase might be new to some of you, but I bet you've already heard the buzzword blockchain. Blockchain is the name of the distributed ledger system that underpins Bitcoin and several other cryptocurrencies. The design focus of blockchain centers entirely on one primary goal, full decentralization, meaning that there is no single point of control in the entire network. Now, the reason that's so important is that if you're designing a cryptocurrency with the goal of making it impervious to government oversight and control, you can't have any central point of vulnerability in the network. If you did, the government could simply locate that computer and shut it down or otherwise take it off the network. For this reason, a lot of very talented software engineers put an awful lot of thought into how to make blockchain completely, totally decentralized. What are those same brilliant software engineers doing with their time today, nearly a decade after they first invented blockchain? Some of them have moved on to work on a newer variation called a permissioned distributed ledger. A permissioned distributed ledger is one that is designed to be centralized to some degree, and as a result can achieve much better performance than blockchain. But wait, didn't I just say the whole point of blockchain was to deliver a fully decentralized design? Yes, but the reason that was so important is that if you're designing a cryptocurrency with the goal of making it resilient or impervious to government oversight, you need that complete and total decentralization. But if you're the government itself, designing a government-issued digital currency system, you don't have that problem. I suspect the reason why some of the gurus who invented blockchain are now working on permission distributed ledger systems is because they see the proverbial handwriting on the wall. They know that nobody stands more to gain from digital currency technology than governments, and it's only a matter of time before governments wake up to this reality and focus on creating government-issued digital currency systems. What will happen when governments figure out the opportunity to build their own digital currency systems? Well, the first thing that they'll need is a really solid permissioned distributed ledger system. With this perspective, it's easy to see why some of the smartest guys in the crypto community are starting to refocus their energies on creating permissioned ledger products. Most of the crypto community remains dedicated to its goals of designing cryptocurrency systems to undermine government authority. But now a few defectors have realized that government-issued digital currency is inevitable. They know it's going to be hundreds if not thousands of times bigger in scope than the entire cryptocurrency trend of the last decade. And it's going to completely change the world we live in. They probably don't love the idea that governments are going to use technology to do exactly the opposite of what Satoshi envisioned for Bitcoin. But they know it's going to happen with or without them. So they're positioning themselves to be in the right place when major governments around the world are suddenly willing to pay for a really solid permission distributed ledger system. They know what's coming. Cryptocurrency is where it all started, but nothing more. Now, to be sure, Bitcoin and the other cryptocurrencies have become all the rage in recent years, particularly with the millennial generation. And quite a few banks are looking seriously at distributed ledger technology for a variety of other financial applications. And that's all fine and well. But decades from now, we'll look back and remember Bitcoin and blockchain the way we remember the Wright Flyer, the world's first airplane. In both cases, we're talking about inventions that changed the course of human history. but when put in proper context, in the long run, that means they both belong in museums. Don't get me wrong, I'm not down on Bitcoin. Like the flyer, it's a milestone invention that will change the course of human history. But just like aviation technology, decades from now, digital currency will have advanced so far that Bitcoin will seem like a primitive precursor to something that will be so much bigger and more encompassing. Just as the flyer was the world's first airplane, Bitcoin and blockchain were the first version of something new in the world of software. As a former software technologist, I can assure you that the first version of any software system seldom reveals how great or not great that system will ultimately be. Consider Microsoft Windows version 1. It always takes a few versions to advance beyond the proof of concept stage and engineer a world-class system. The focus of this book will not be on cryptocurrency, but rather on what will come next after governments figure out that nobody stands more to gain from Satoshi's inventions than governments themselves. I predict that they'll apply those same inventions to achieve objectives opposite to those that Satoshi envisioned for Bitcoin. I'll certainly cover what Bitcoin is and how it works in this book so that you know what all the fuss has been about, but only briefly and in sufficient detail to give you an understanding of what Bitcoin achieved. The primary focus of this book will be the much longer-term outlook for how digital currency will change the course of history. What comes next could change the world in ways far beyond anything Satoshi ever imagined. And by the way, we the people better keep a close eye on the progress and make sure Satoshi's vision of the future isn't completely replaced with George Orwell's version after governments take control of the process. The U.S. government malaise. Government-issued digital currency is inevitable. The good news, the benefits to society could be tremendous, but sadly, the U.S. government doesn't appear to have figured any of this out yet. U.S. law enforcement agencies like the FBI have already caught on that cryptocurrencies can impair the ability of law enforcement to monitor and oversee financial transactions. In other words, cryptocurrencies do exactly what they were designed to do. And the authorities are already fighting back using contractors like blockchain forensic analysis firm Chainalysis to trace Bitcoin payments that some criminals errantly assumed were untraceable. The opportunity for the U.S. government to improve the global monetary system doesn't appear to have captured the attention of senior U.S. policymakers, but China and Russia are already engaged. They understand exactly how digital currency could help them dethrone the dollar as the world's global reserve currency. Eventually, the U.S. government will wake up and realize that China and Russia are already tooling up to use digital currency against them. When they do, everything will change rather quickly. The challengers and reserve currency status. The invention of distributed ledger and digital cash comes at a time when governments all over the world are becoming increasingly frustrated with the nearly monopolistic hegemony the U.S. dollar holds over the rest of the global financial system. A whole lot of people, including some major governments, are working very actively to remedy this. Since 1944, the U.S. dollar has served as the world's global reserve currency, meaning that most international trade is settled in U.S. dollars, and more importantly, that central bank reserve assets, a fancy name for the savings account of an entire nation, are usually denominated in U.S. dollars. The U.S. government derives an immense advantage over other nations as a result of its status as reserve currency issuer, because reserve currency status creates a huge artificial demand for U.S. dollars internationally, where they're needed to settle trade or to serve as central bank reserve assets. This equates directly to allowing the U.S. government to both borrow more money on deficit spending and to run a much larger trade deficit than other countries. If any other non-reserve currency issuer country were to try and do the same things, they would pay dearly for that largesse in the form of higher borrowing costs. But the U.S. is effectively immune to this consequence. This situation has enraged foreign governments for decades. Way back in the 1960s, French finance minister, who later became president of France, Valéry Giscard d'Estaing, famously coined the phrase, exorbitant privilege to describe the U.S. government's unfair advantage over other nations that derives from its status as reserve currency issuer. But there wasn't much anyone could do aside from complaining about it. In recent years, foreign governments have become much more proactive in taking steps to try and force a change in the global balance of power. Russian scholar and now economic advisor to President Vladimir Putin, Sergei Glazyev, is widely recognized as the mastermind behind the so-called de-dollarization campaign, which seeks to influence governments around the world to stop settling trade, particularly for oil, in U.S. dollars. Mr. Glazyev doesn't mince words in his public statements. He has accused the U.S. government of financial terrorism, saying that the U.S. has shown a consistent pattern of abusing its control over the dollar as the world's global reserve currency, and that as a matter of self-defense, all other governments around the world should divest their dollar holdings and stop using dollars to settle international trade. And it's not just talk. Since Mr. Glazyev was appointed formally as an economic advisor to Vladimir Putin in early 2018, Russia has begun aggressively selling off its holdings of U.S. Treasury bonds. Meanwhile, Mr. Glazyev continues to lobby other governments around the globe to do the same. China has responded by creating a new yuan-denominated futures contract, allowing crude oil to be traded while bypassing the U.S. dollar entirely in settling those transactions. To an increasing extent, nations everywhere seek to find ways to distance themselves from dependence on the dollar. The dollar is the currency which forms the backbone of the global financial system, but to make international payments of dollars, an international payment system is needed. SWIFT is the international wire transfer network, and it facilitates almost all international trade settlement. SWIFT has recently become the subject of quite a bit of controversy because the U.S. government has been withholding access to SWIFT as a tactic to impose sanctions against countries like Iran. It recently threatened to do the same with Venezuela, if that country doesn't play ball with U.S. policy negotiators. For some time, Russia and China have been calling foul on this practice, arguing that the U.S. government has no right to unilaterally deny other nations access to the global financial system. This is one of the many reasons they've been actively promoting the campaign of de-dollarization for several years now. It's not just Russia and China. In August 2018, the German government issued a statement calling for a new international payment system independent from the U.S. government. Now, to my thinking, that's pretty big coming from Germany, a longtime U.S. ally. Sure, China and Russia have been accusing the U.S. government of wrongdoing for decades, but for an ally like Germany to take Russia and China's side of the argument publicly and say that the world needs a global payment system free from U.S. oversight, now that's a pretty newsworthy development. 1 month later, the European Union's foreign policy chief stood shoulder to shoulder with the Iranian foreign minister at the United Nations in New York City and announced their intentions to develop a new payment system for the express purpose of bypassing SWIFT in order to prevent the U.S. from overstepping its authority over other nations' financial affairs. In summary, a long list of nations and very influential people around the world are getting more and more frustrated with what they perceive as the U.S. government abusing its status as global reserve currency issuer. They're ready for a new world order in which the U.S. doesn't have nearly as much control over the global financial system. The logical replacement for the U.S. dollar is a digital global reserve currency. Let's return to the topic at hand, digital currency, with the benefit of this context about what's going on geopolitically. The main point is that a whole lot of people want very badly to find a way to dethrone the U.S. dollar and to create an alternative to SWIFT, one which the U.S. government has far less control over. There's no doubt in my mind that the best way for them to achieve their goals would be to design and build a global-scale digital currency system. Remember that the cryptocurrency pioneers have already invented the needed technological innovations, distributed ledger and double spend-proof digital cash. Now, imagine that you're the governments of Russia and China. You've believed for decades that the United States has abused its monetary authority since World War II, and that the dollar should be dethroned from the power it enjoys over the global financial system. Your competitive advantage derives from being able to think and plan on a longer timescale than Western governments whose election cycles demand shorter-term policy initiatives. Why wouldn't you make it your top priority to assemble a Manhattan Project-like team to design and build a global-scale, government-issued digital currency system, thus using technology superiority rather than military might to defeat the Goliath of financial power that you've been fighting for the last 75 years? Now, I know what you're probably thinking. Secret Manhattan Project-style efforts? Clandestine foreign government initiatives designed to undermine the power of the U.S. government? Is this going to be a serious book about digital currency, or just more conspiracy theories? Well, admittedly, the last few paragraphs sound a bit conspiratorial, even to me. But please ask yourself, if what I've said is just a bunch of nonsensical conspiracy theory, then why is the People's Bank of China, the Chinese Central Bank, actively hiring blockchain engineers, a widely publicized fact? And why are they being so quiet about what these people are actually working on? And why did Sergei Glazyev, the father of de-dollarization, recently give a keynote speech at a blockchain conference in Europe? And why did the Chinese Central Bank file more patents relating to digital currency than anyone else in 2017? Something's going on here. A new space race is coming. Space travel was anticipated by science fiction writers and futurists for more than 100 years before it became reality. But nobody took it seriously. In the 1950s, everyone knew about flying saucers, ray guns, and little green men from Mars, but it was just science fiction. Until October 4th, 1957, that is. When Russia's Sputnik satellite orbited the Earth, suddenly it wasn't science fiction anymore. It was science reality, and the Russians were in the lead. The military implications were staggering. Whoever controlled space could easily win the Cold War. The U.S. government's new top priority was to figure out how Russia got the lead and how to take it back. Suddenly, nothing was more important. The space race was on. A new space race has already begun, and the grand prize goes to whichever nation is first to develop and roll out a global-scale government-issued digital currency system, which will serve as the world's global reserve currency for many decades to come. It's only logical to expect other nations to engineer such a system for the express purpose of displacing the U.S. dollar. The challengers are a real threat to the U.S. government. I'm convinced that the challengers are already hard at work on this agenda, and when the U.S. government finally wakes up and smells the coffee, it will respond with a massive initiative of its own to compete. The new era space race will be on. What will happen to cryptocurrencies, which were designed to serve as an alternative to government-issued money? It's going to be very interesting to find out. One very real possibility is that governments will seek to outlaw cryptocurrency completely because they'll want their own government-issued digital currencies to enjoy a monopoly. Many people in the crypto community believe that cryptocurrencies will evolve to reach global scale and that the replacement for the U.S. dollar as global reserve currency will be Bitcoin or another cryptocurrency. I don't think those expectations are realistic for several reasons, but anything is possible. If the crypto community wants to have a crack at one of their cryptocurrencies eventually becoming the global digital reserve currency system, it will need to start paying much closer attention to the design of conventional currency systems and create a cryptocurrency to offer features more attractive than the dollar for denominating central bank reserve assets. One of my goals in writing this book was to provide at least an initial understanding of the factors that influence conventional monetary system design and reserve currency selection. Suppose that I'm right, and we do eventually get to the point where the U.S. is pitted against Russia and China in a race to create the world's new digital global reserve currency. Who will the rest of the world side with? Just a few years ago, it would have been a safe assumption that Europe would side with the U.S. But remember that outrage over the SWIFT system that led Germany to make its August 2018 announcement. The world is becoming sick and tired of the U.S. having near complete control. A global digital currency system backed by the U.S. government would almost certainly have the effect of dramatically increasing the degree of authority and control the U.S. already enjoys over the world financial system. On the other hand, any digital currency issued and controlled by the challengers would dramatically decrease U.S. hegemony, while giving Russia and or China much more power. Who is the rest of the world more likely to side with? The answer is far less clear than it would have been just a few years ago. So, what's the rest of this book about? First, I'm going to give you a brief introduction to the history of money and currency systems, as this is essential to understanding digital currency in proper context. Next, we'll cover distributed ledger technology, and blockchain in particular. Then I'm going to introduce you to Bitcoin, the first cryptocurrency. I'll explain its features as well as offering considerable criticism about its longer-term viability. I'll also explain why nobody stands more to gain than governments themselves when it comes to what digital currency technology has to offer. But that's just the warm-up. From there, we're going to go deep on money theory. 8 full chapters will give you a clear understanding of exactly how currency systems operate and exactly what it means for a currency to serve as the world's global reserve currency. From there, we'll return to digital currency, starting with a review of some of the advances made by other non-Bitcoin cryptocurrencies. Finally, we'll take a deep dive into where digital currency is ultimately headed, and I'll present my own arguments for why I believe the secret sauce that will propel a digital currency system to the coveted status of global reserve currency will actually be the design of an integrated digital sovereign bond market. I'll also explain why I believe that there is great risk of an Orwellian outcome in which governments design digital currency systems to assert too much power and control over the governed. A quick introduction to your author. I was a distributed systems architect and a software entrepreneur in my first career, so all the enabling technologies used to create cryptocurrencies are very familiar to me. I sold my software company and retired at the age of 33, but soon flunked retirement, got bored, and reinvented myself as a finance guy. In my second career, I managed a hedge fund based on a macroeconomic investment theme. I've also spent quite a few years studying the international monetary system, and a particular fascination of mine has always been the U.S. dollar's hegemony over the rest of the financial system, and more specifically, how long it can last. These days, I host a free weekly macroeconomics podcast called Macro Voices. Having this background, first as a distributed systems technology expert, and then as a financial markets professional and devoted student of global macroeconomics, gives me a unique perspective on digital currency. While my finance buddies struggle to get their heads around cryptocurrency and figure out what the technology geek speak means, it's mostly old news to me. Similarly, as I see the cryptocurrency experts easily outdo my own knowledge of distributed systems, which is now 20 years out of date, I retired from software in 1998, I can't help but notice that despite their superior grasp of the latest software technology, these guys usually have little understanding of the true significance of global reserve currency status and why the dollar still enjoys it, or why so many powerful people around the globe are working so hard to change that situation. I believe I can see the long-term digital currency story more clearly than almost anyone. At risk of sounding arrogant, ever since cryptocurrency became a thing, I've felt like my peers just can't see the forest beyond the trees. They're so excited about this new investment asset class called crypto, and that's fine. Except almost everyone is missing the much bigger story. That's enough about me for this chapter. For those of you who care to learn more, I've written a full summary of my professional background in both distributed computing technology and in finance in Appendix A. This has been a free sample of the first chapter of the audiobook version of Beyond Blockchain. To purchase the full version of the audiobook, paperback, or Kindle version, please visit www.macrovoices.com/BB. I hope that you've enjoyed this free sample, and I hope that you enjoy the entire book. Thanks very much. I'm Eric Townsend.